A viewer asks, what is exactly meant by understanding the Quran, and what would you advise someone living in the Western culture to intensify their personal relationship with the Quran? And he says, not having access to a distinctive Islamic education.
Right. Well, I mean, first of all, one thing that you have to completely set aside is that you cannot get rulings from the Quran. It's absolutely haram to use the Quran as a book of fiqh unless you're a mujtahid. And so you have to learn fiqh from the fuqaha. And that's very important. So if you read in the Quran an ayah or something like that, you know, اقتل المشركين حيث وجدتموهم, like kill the polytheists wherever you find them, that has nothing to do with you. That verse was, you have to know the tafsir, you have to know the asbab al-nuzul, why it was revealed, the temporality of it, what it means, or even in the hadith, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ, I was commanded to fight people, حَتِي يَقُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مِنْ قَالُوا فَإِنْ قَالُوا عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ, you know, أو مَنْ قَالَهَا فَقَدْ عَصَمَ مِنِّي دَمَهُ وَمَالَهُ. That hadith, which is a sahih hadith, I was commanded to fight people until they say, La ilaha illallah. Nas in the Quran can mean different things. Inna nasa qad jama'u lakum. People have gathered. That's one person, right? Nas is used to mean Quraysh in the Quran. Nas is used to mean humanity in the Quran. Nas is mean to use one person or a group, a ta'ifa. So in that, first of all, that hadith is considered mansukh by Imam Malik. Imam Malik considered that hadith abrogated. The reason Imam Nawawi put it in his 40 hadith is because the Shafi'is consider it muhkam, but the Malikis consider it abrogated. And the Maliki position and the Hanafi position on that hadith is the dominant position. It was what was practiced even in the Shafi'i countries. So the Shafi'is believe that you had to eliminate idolatry, whereas the Malikis and the Hanafis, even the idolaters, are allowed to practice. And you can see that if you want to, for students of knowledge, Imam Tahir ibn Ashur has a very nice study of that in La Ikraha Fid Din, in Surah Al-Baqarah, when he does La Ikraha Fid Din in his tafsir. So, but Malik considered mansukh. Ibn Abi Jamra, in his commentary on that hadith, says that it only applied to the Meccans, to the Arabs on the peninsula. It didn't apply to anybody else. So now we've got Daesh using these ayahs and these hadiths. So that's important to remember, that you cannot, as a lay person, you cannot study the Quran to derive rulings. But you can study the stories, we now have it in English. If you don't know English, you have to recognize it's a translation, so it's an interpretation. Sometimes it's good to study more than one. There are books with good commentary. Even Yusuf Ali's commentary is actually quite good. There's a lot of benefit in there. A commentary like Ibn Kathir is dangerous because it's a medieval commentary. And so if you're reading that in English, you can get some really understandings that are more applicable to his time and place and aren't really universal. So that's one of the problems in reading pre-modern tafsirs, is that they're not always applicable. But for instance, I was mentioning about Baqarah. You know, Baqarah begins with faith and disbelief, and then it moves to creation and how the creation came about and the creation story. And then it moves to the Bani Israel, to the tribulation of Bani Israel. And then it goes goes into like the transition. So you have the Qibla change, and then Abraham alayhi salam, the tribulations that Abraham goes into, and then it also goes into the tribulations that the Muslims are gonna have, and then the creation, and then finally to iman and disbelief. So it's got an incredible structure that can be studied and observed by reading it. And I would encourage people to do that with humility and recognizing that if you're not a scholar, you have to be very careful. And if there's a famous story about one of the students of knowledge asked his teacher, I want to read the books of so-and-so, and he was a very difficult scholar to read. And he said, no, I don't want you to read it. And he said, I promise I'll only just read the things I understand. He said, that's what I'm afraid of, the things you think you understand. You know, because sometimes you think you understand something. And just knowing Arabic does not mean that you can read the Quran. Arabic takes a long time to master. There are words in the Quran that do not mean what they normally mean. There are syntactical structures in the Quran that are not normal in Arabic. There are examples, like illa in the Quran is used sometimes as a atf, as a wow. You have wow at istinaf. You know, like in the Quran, Allah says, laysa kamithlihi shay, wa huwa as-sami'ul basir, you know, that there's nothing like God, wa, and then it says wa, and he is also the hearing and the seeing. That wow is istinaf. So it's actually like a yet despite that. In other words, don't think his hearing and seeing is like your hearing and seeing. So there's a lot of subtleties that take a long time to learn. And I mean, fortunately, we have great scholars that studied these things. So, but I really think, especially the last 30 that you recite in your prayers, most people recite those. The Malik's Madhab, it's mandub to recite a whole surah in the prayer, because the Prophet didn't recite portions of the Quran in his fard prayer. And so the Malikis take that, that's the amal of the people of Medina. So Malikis tend to recite from the shorter, the last juz of the Quran, or from the mufassal. And so to know those is really good, so that you actually know what you're saying. You don't want to just say things, and like, you should know, قُلْ, say, هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, Allah is one, Allahu Samad, Allah is, he's the Sayyid that has no need, he's the one you go in, anyway.